Good morning, everybody. All right. Well, praise the Lord another day. You know, I don't know if anybody's heard Steve's last sermon about having your own agenda. But it's something that we get caught in all the time. And I can look around very easily and see that that is just very much the case. You know, when I remember Davey, he was talking about, and I forget when it was that he was talking about it, but he was talking about how when he seen the Lord move the most was when everybody had one mind. Everybody was on the Lord's agenda, not their own. And as you can see, and if you take just the children of Israel for an example, you can see how that first generation didn't enter the promised land because of why? Well, unbelief. The other thing was that they had their own mind. They had their own agenda. They had their own wants, their own desires. It had nothing really to do with the Lord at all. It was about pleasing themselves, and that was pretty much it. Then you see the second generation. The second generation, man, they moved with one accord, like as a perfect man. And what started happening is the Lord started moving and moving and moving. And they got that promised land. Yeah, they had a hiccup there, but they dealt with that. But as we as a body, as us that comes here today, what are we about? Are we just showing up because to do the clock in thing or to just to show up to see others? What are we coming here for? Or are we coming to go learn about the Lord in His ways? I mean, that's what it should be, right? I mean, that's what it should be. But I want to move from that place, from the children of Israel, that first generation, to the children of Israel, that second generation that moved and got into the promised land. Now, I mean, just because you show up here every Sunday and, you know, and then you go about doing your own thing, what does that profit you? It doesn't profit you anything. It's actually just more accountable because you get to know a little bit more about the Lord and His ways. And if you are one, I mean, don't wait on everybody else to get it together before you get it together, because that's just not how it works. I mean, you've seen where Joshua and Caleb, they believed God. They wanted to take the promised land. They sought it was good and believed God's promise in it. Did they get to enter the promised land? Absolutely. Even though they were from that first generation, didn't matter. They still move forward to the promised land. You take a look at Lot. When the judgment came on Sodom and Gomorrah, the Lord still saved Lot. But that's where it comes down. That's where you come down. You become honest with the Lord. You become honest with yourself. Ask the Lord, search your heart, Lord. Show me. Show me that which is not of you. Show me that which is not your way. Show me that where I'm just trying to do my own thing and not yours. And then hang on. And then hang on, because He will answer that prayer. He'll answer that prayer according to His will. Because if it's something that you want to go and you want to go forward, you want to serve the Lord, He's going to show you that. Because you're changing your mind from being about your own business to being about His business. And He's faithful. But we were singing that last song, and one of the lines was that, how did it go? I was trying to think. Nothing comes before Him. And that we love Him. I love you more than any other. You know, what does the scripture say about that? If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. That's what it says. You know, my daughters say they love me all the time. But they show that they love me when they what? Do what I tell them to do. And it's really quite neat sometimes, because sometimes they're doing things that I don't tell them to do, but they know that that would be pleasing. And I go, just praise God. And sometimes they struggle with that bit. When I go tell them to do the thing, they don't want to go do that thing. Well, praise God. I can have much compassion there, because I've been there many, many, many times. But no, if you want to walk in the power of God, if you want to walk as He walked, first thing He's going to be doing is, not my will be done, but yours, Lord. And take heed to that thing. But a lot of that stuff and a lot of things that we get confronted with that is not His way comes many different ways. It can just be His spirit itself revealing it to you. Going, whoa. That ain't of you, Lord. It could be coming down through an authority in the Lord. It could be coming from your brother or sister. It could be coming from a non-believer altogether. But see, if you're about His business and you're about wanting to get it right with Him and doing His thing, you will hear it. But what that takes on your part is what? Humility. And see, humility doesn't feel good. Okay, I can tell you right now, when that light shines in my dark heart, man, it doesn't feel too good. When I start seeing some things that are not His way, that I'm putting my hands to, I look and I go, oh Lord, that's ugly. Oh Lord, help me. Man, have mercy upon me. But I praise God that that thing is being revealed to me. No matter how much it stinking feels. Because if I didn't see that that was not His way, why would I ever want to change? Why would I ever want to change? I'd just be standing back. If I didn't see anything like that, I'd go, well, man, I just got it together. What do I need to change for? But praise God, I know I'm a large piece of work, but the Lord's bigger than that. And He's faithful and He's just. and I can lift those things up to Him. I can repent of those things. You know what repent means? That means change your mind about something. Absolutely change your mind. You want to, when you see those things being revealed and you recognize it, first thing you got to do is you got to go to the cross, man. You got to go to Him. You got to seek that forgiveness that you know you need, because you know that was no different than you standing with the others saying, crucify Him, crucify Him, crucify Him. And you're no different than that at all whatsoever. And you recognize that, man, that is just a rebellion against You, Lord. I am sorry, Lord. And what wants to happen is you want, when you see that way in yourself, when you see that you're going that direction, man, you want to completely just abandon it. You don't want nothing to do with it. At all. If you're about Him. If you want to get it right with Him. And you just recognize that your very soul and salvation relies on Jesus Christ. And there's no other hope than Him and the sufficiency of what He has done. And that's it. But so many of us, how many of us go off and justify ourselves when we're confronted with those things? We're actually confronted with things that are not His way. So I'm not like that. No, I didn't do that. No, I didn't mean that. How many times? I mean, we say yay and amen, but when it comes down to it, we're like, oh no, that's not the case. Oh no, that's not the case at all. And what you're doing is you're just lying to yourself. And you're lying to the Lord. And it's something that we ought to not be forsaking and trying to run away from, but head right into love the truth, even though it testifies against you, that you may become free of those things and go forward in Him. See, a lot of times what happens is when that correction happens or when that thing is brought to your plate, if you will just choose to say, okay, Lord, You're right. I don't want it. I'm sorry, Lord. And you give that thing up and you abandon that thing altogether, what happens is there's just freeing thing that happens. It's an amazing thing. Absolutely amazing. And what you thought, what your carnal mind thought was this thing was for your, was painful and it didn't feel good, so you thought it was for your hurt, was actually the thing to get you free. To set you free of. But it all comes down to, what do you want to do? Woman or man does what a man wants to do. Woman does what a woman wants to do. The Lord can't make you make that choice. Can't make you do it. It's there for you. The gospel's there for you. The deliverance is there for you. It's hanging right there before your face. All you got to do is grab hold of it. Receive it. It's an amazing thing. So I just challenge you guys. Get honest with yourselves. Examine yourself. See if you be in the faith at all. And make a choice. Make a choice. And I tell you, to make that choice for the Lord is the right one. Make that choice for yourself is the wrong one. And do we have to really look very far of the times that we made that choice for ourselves? I tell you, I don't. I was one of the most uncommitted son of a guns in this ministry, let me tell you. All that is just a shining example of what the Lord's grace is and how big His grace is to you guys. It really just leaves it with no excuse. But when we take a look at the choice, when we chose ourselves, how many times has it worked out? I can tell you in my life, it hasn't. About got me killed. Many times got me beat up. Satan took me, chewed me up, spit me out, left on the roadside ditch, like that commercial. When I chose the Lord, something completely different happened in my life. Something absolutely completely different happened. Above that which I can ask or think is what happened. Something that I didn't think was even possible for me, ever be possible, happened. And not just a one-time thing. No, it's been over and over and over and over and over again. What does your life look like? Do you have that testimony over and over and over and over again? Because that's how it's been. The Lord's bigger than any situation. And how many times are we faced with situations? Quite a bit. You know why? Because there's an enemy out there wanting to kill, steal, and destroy. And what does the Lord keep doing? He keeps flipping that situation right side up. Right side up, right side up. If you choose just to believe Him. Times past when He didn't even choose to believe Him. He showed Himself faithful, just like He did with the children of Israel when He showed up for them in Egypt. But now is the time for us to take that which the Lord has shown me and step out in faith. Now is the time for us to choose to believe like that second generation. Now is the time. Right now. And I don't care where you've been in the past or how much you've failed in the past. That's what the gospel's for. That's why He paid the price. See, none of those things should hold you back. None of them. And you can choose Him this day. You choose to believe Him this day. He's good. He's faithful. Just take a glimpse and look at your life. for a second. Where was it before him? Where was it when you chose not him? Where was it? Where is it when you did choose him? It's night and day. And if you haven't had that experience, get that experience. Because it's right there in front of you.
Morning, everybody. So what's the deal? If you haven't been about the Lord's business and you've been about your own, what do you do about that? What do you do about that? Well, the Word says you change your mind. The Word instructs us to put on the whole armor of God. To put on the new man. Well, who's the new man? New man is Jesus. You know, if you're caught in a place where you don't have the desire to do the Lord's thing, then you need to pray. Out of Philippians chapter 2, it doesn't come to us naturally. You got to fight through to get it. Chapter 2:12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, I may be wrong, but the fear and trembling that I have is that I'm not doing the Lord's thing right and I'm not pleasing Him. That doesn't mean I stop. It means I get with Him. Find out what He wants me to be doing and do it. But the next verse is absolutely necessary in tandem. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do with His good pleasure. Because it doesn't come by you naturally. Turn yourself over to Him. Let Him work in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. What He wants you to do. He'll answer that one. But you're still going to have to choose every single day to put off your deal to do His. You wake up in the morning, well, you got your own agenda. Got to put it off. I was looking at looking at several scriptures. He was looking in John chapter 13. And Jesus says, I'm showing you how to do this. When He's washing the disciples' feet. He said, servant's not greater than his master. Neither is the one who sent greater than the one who did the sending. I really screwed that up. Neither is the one who is sent greater than the one who sent. Jesus is not greater than the Father. He said, when I send you, you're going to understand these things. But He operated on the Father's agenda. He said, I only do those things that He's given me to do, and I only say those things He's given me to say. Again, He is the example of how we are to be. And you see Him having to get off by Himself and gather Himself together and talk to the Father. I'm thinking specifically the garden. As He's heading on that trail to the cross. Father, not my will, but Thine. It's incumbent on us, if we say we abide in Him, that we also walk as He walked. If you don't know how He walked, how can you know if you don't read the Word? If you're not doing the things He did, you're not walking as He walked. If you're not following His example of doing the Father's deal and not your own, you're not walking as He walked. And that was what we were supposed to be in training to do, was to do His thing in His place here and now, because He's gone to be with the Father. How can you do that if you're always about your own thing? Not only, you know, sometimes we read things that are, we take as prohibitions in Scripture, and sometimes I look at them and I go, you know, it's not really necessarily a prohibition. It just doesn't work that way. You can't do your own thing and be successful in doing about the business of doing the Lord's thing. You got to take your stuff off the agenda completely. All right. So you've tanked. You haven't been doing that. That's what Philip's talking about. Repent. Change your mind. Scripture said, where is he at? All these things, they're choices. When you choose to do the Lord's thing, you put on a new man, which renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Put on the whole armor of God. You can't enter in the fight to do His thing without putting on Jesus, putting on the armor. And it is a fight. It's a fight against the old man. It's a fight against the ways of the world. It's a fight against the enemy that comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. And there's freeing in being about His business. It's deliverance. It's knowledge and wisdom and discernment. And it's not for you, it's for others. It's so you can minister to them. The Lord is good. There's nothing that we haven't been challenged. There's nothing that we have been challenged to do that we can't do. If you have to spend all your time crying out to the Lord, do it until you get it right. It's about his business. And there's so many witnesses in Scripture to that. You know, that's my prayer, that I be about his business, to where I do what he has me do and I say what he has me say. And that's it. It's all that matters. But, okay, so your heart's not right. David figured that out. It didn't work. It just doesn't come natural. How did David handle it? Psalm 51. He understood. You know, sacrifice and burnt offerings thou hast not desired. But was a broken and contrite spirit thou, huh? Thou shalt, yeah, thou wilt not despise. It's fixable. The Lord can fix you. Amen. And if you don't desire to do his thing, he can fix that too. That's what's good news about this whole thing. It goes back to where I was in Philippians 2:13 and 14, I believe it was. Man, I'd hang on to that. 12 and 13. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Why is that good news? It's good news because you don't do it naturally. And I need that. And you need that. And you ask him for that, and he'll do that. I'm done.